Good morning. Happy Father's Day to the fathers, and grandfathers, great-grandfathers, spiritual fathers in our lives. We are grateful for you. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, 1 to 4, just kind of a one-off sermon that has to do with fathering, parenting. Let's ask God to guide our time. Father God, it is good to be in your house. You are our Heavenly Father, the model of what fatherhood ought to be, how we ought to live, how we ought to shape the generations that follow us. Father, we're thankful for so many godly fathers and grandfathers, great-grandfathers, father figures at Highland. We are blessed by them and encouraged through them. Father, it doesn't take much imagination to see the need for godly fathers and grandfathers and father figures. We look at the events in the world and in our own country just of the last week, vile assassination of a politician and spouse, an attempted assassination of a second politician and spouse, vile in every way. The violence that pours out in the war that Russia created by invading Ukraine, the violence that we have in Israel and Iran today. Father, it really matters not one's political persuasion. We can still see the need for godly leaders in the home, in government, in our world. Father, we ask that you would raise up those godly leaders. We have a number at Highland, and we pray that you would multiply them. And in our governments and in our world. And may, as the video showed, we have so many men that love you with all of their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength and might, and love their neighbor as themselves. Father, as we look at your word in Ephesians 6, may the words that are inspired by you, truthful, inerrant, become reality not only in our heads, but in our hearts. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. It was in 1959, in the Saturday Evening Post, that we had one of many Norman Rockwell pictures. You've seen this for sure. In this particular picture, we have the oldest sister leading the band, followed by mom, followed by the youngest sister. They're on their way to church, but Junior is trailing, looking longingly at dad. He's discouraged because dad isn't going. In fact, dad is in his PJs in a chair reading the newspaper, and Junior is being made to go. I don't know if Norman Rockwell knew the statistics that would be available in 2025 on both sides of the pond, both in Europe and the United States, but he painted something that statistically is utterly true. By the way, do you know the worst attended Sunday of the year in the United States in church? It's Father's Day. It is the poorest attendance of the year. I don't know if that's true at Highland. It might be, looking at today. But it is the poorest attended Sunday of the year. Do you know that there are studies done on both sides of the pond? Scholastic, not necessarily Christian studies. And the studies give us the following. If during the years in which the children grow up, both mom and dad attend church. When the children mature, 3 out of 4, 75% will also be regular church attenders. If only dad attends church and mom does not, during the years in which the kids grow up, 65% of the adult children will attend church. If only mom attends church and not dad during the growing up years, 40% of the adult children will attend church, almost entirely made up of females, not males. If neither mom or dad attend church during the growing up years, less than 20% of their children will start to attend church in the growing up years or in the adult years. Now, maybe you didn't have the model or didn't provide the model that you wish you had. Do you know those statistics can be altered if after the kids leave, mom or dad or mom and dad start to attend church, that begins to have a trickle-down effect on the next generation. So all is not lost. Norman Rockwell painted that picture in 1959, and we now know statistically that picture is accurate. But it's not just in the realm of humans. It's also in the realm of pachyderms, elephants. All of us are well aware that in Asia and Africa, many bull, male elephants are targeted because of their tusks, because of the ivory. Hunters, not necessarily desiring the meat, have taken out a number of bull, male elephants. One of the side effects of that, unexpected, unintended, is that we have many, many adolescent, teenage male elephants that have grown up without a model. And what has occurred, we know this to be true, is that many of these teenage adolescent elephants are now stampeding non-elephant herds like rare white rhino herds and decimating them, or going into human villages in Africa and Asia and stampeding humans, killing young children. We know this to be a fact. And so the solution thus far has been twofold. Really sophisticated, skilled hunters have been brought into Africa and Asia to kill the worst of the teenager adolescent elephants who are a danger to other animals and to human life. But there has now been a second solution found, and that is that a mature bull elephant is removed from his herd and put into a herd with young adolescent males. And almost immediately, he demands dominance, he gains dominance, and he teaches the adolescents how to act as an elephant. They just need a firm trunk. And then they begin to act and are no longer a threat to other animal herds or human life. That is a fact. I think that's what Ephesians 6, 1-4 is about. It's about godly parenting. Specifically today, it's about godly fathering and grandfathering and great-grandfathering and being a surrogate father, maybe in children's church or nursery or Generation 180 or One-Way Club or with young adults, and being this surrogate parent to those who are younger. It's what God desires to happen in our lives. I want to pick up and read to us from Ephesians 6, 1-4. Listen to God's word. Children, That's the Greek word technia. Mostly it refers to at home, dependent kids on mothers and dads, but occasionally it can refer to someone older. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So does that mean that an adult who's under mom and dad's roof is to obey? No, because we'll see in verse 4 that the discipline, paideia, coming from pios, refers to young children. So it is younger children or children in society that are financially dependent on mom and dad, who are living under mom and dad's roof, who are to obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Now citing out of Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy 5, the Decalogue, this is one of the Ten Commandments. There is no age related to this commandment. Obedience is for at home, dependent children. Honoring is for all children of all ages. We are all to honor our father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, I'm going to read it, or I'm going to cite it in the way I know it rather than read it out of the ESV. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That is our role. That's what so many of you fathers, grandfathers, surrogate fathers have done so well. Excuse me. As you and I begin this amazing passage, it is obvious that God is telling his followers to show proper obedience if we are children financially dependent upon our parents and living in the walls of our parents' home. Obedience is then required by those individuals. Now, as I mentioned, I know that it is at-home children, not at-home adults, because discipline in verse 4 is paideia from the Greek word pios, which always refers to a child, never an adult. So obedience is required if you live at home, you are financially dependent upon mom and dad, and society would label you a child, you are to obey mom and dad. But what happens in our society if an adult child comes back and lives with mom and dad? Certainly mom and dad can say, no, not happening. Certainly mom and dad can say that there are some guidelines that all of us follow, but obedience, no, not from this passage. In fact, from nobody, nowhere in Scripture. Let me illustrate it this way. A few years ago, Betty Ann and I lived next door to our adult daughter, Sandra, and her husband, Ryan, and our grandchildren, Ro Jeffrey and Ray Ray. Ro Jeffrey just turned 4, Ray Ray is 7. We live next door, and they were transferred down to Georgia. So they put their house on the market and sold it really quite rapidly. And then they were given a number of months before they had to actually move. So they don't have a house. We live next door. They moved in with us. We were delighted. I was ecstatic. I'm going to have my daughter and my son-in-law and my grandkids live in our house. Were they to show honor to us? Yes. Honor is lifelong. They are to show honor. They do show honor to us. Were they to obey us? No, they're adults. We have some house rules that all of us follow, including Betty Ann and I, but were they to obey us? No, that would actually impede their growth towards maturity. They're adults, and we have now a different type of relationship with them than we did when our daughter was growing up within the home. But if you're at home, you are to obey It's a compound word including akouo. Akouo means to hear. If you are an at-home child, you are to hear mom and dad. You are to listen to them. That's why mom and dad are always saying, look at me and listen. They don't actually even need to say, look at me. They just need to say, Ephesians 6:1, hear, listen. But there's a limit to obedience. Do you see that in the text? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. There's always a limit to obedience. We who know Christ are always under higher law, and the higher law is God's law, always. We are to obey God over government. We are to obey God over political persuasion. We are to obey God over our employer or how we earn a living. We are to obey God even over the parental voice. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. As your parents obey the Lord, you obey your parents. Now, there might be a rare circumstance, I trust not here. But let me illustrate what it might look like. Maybe mom and dad are taking the family to the movies and they ask one of the children to lie about their age so that they can pay a lower price or no price to get the child into the theater. What should the Christ-following child do? Let me tell you what he should not do. He should not make it clear to everyone in the room that mom and dad are lying. Shouldn't do that. You don't embarrass mom and dad. You don't do that. You say, I want to obey you. I want to honor you. In this case, I can't lie about my age. Is there another way I can honor you? But in this case, I really have to tell what is truth because higher law is God's law, and as a Christ follower, I am under God's law. I think that ought to be rare. I think that ought to be the exception. And we never play that card to embarrass mom and dad publicly, never, because that's dishonoring mom and dad. But there is a limit to obedience for all of us. And that limit is if someone, anyone, any government, any entity tells us to violate what is biblical truth, we will obey God over man. In addition, all of us as children are to honor father and mother. Now I know it's not just kids, but all of us, because this is a citation out of Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 that doesn't limit the expectation for only children who are at home. All of us as children are to honor our father and mother. That means as a child, I am to honor my father, my mother, my mother-in-law, and the memory of my father-in-law. My dad will be 90 years old on July 4th, Independence Day. I'm to honor him. My mother tells me she's a lot younger than my dad, and I'm to honor her. My mother-in-law also is a lot younger than my dad, and I'm to honor her. And I'm to honor the memory of my father-in-law who is now home with Jesus in heaven. I never outgrow tima, honor, to ascribe worth, to value somebody. Now, this is a very difficult word for some in this room. Some, I hope not you, I pray not you, but some in this room have had dishonorable parents. A dishonorable mother or father or parents. And now you have a choice. Do I do what I want to do, which is cut them out of my life or show them dishonor? Or I do what God asks me to do. Honor your father and your mother. Is there ever an asterisk with honor? Well, yes and no. We are to honor the parents God gave us, but there could be times when we have to put up safe fences. If you have been the recipient of violence or sexual abuse, not only does my heart go out to you, you ought to turn those parents into the authorities. There is no reason for physical or sexual abuse, none. But you still can honor. You have fences. You'll never, ever be alone in a closed environment with that person again. But you can call them. You can send them a card. Or at the very least, you can decide in your heart, I'm never going to publicly denigrate that individual. You see, when somebody sins, it doesn't give me license to sin back. It doesn't. And some of you, my heart goes out to you, have had dishonorable parents. They have sinned against you. And there's no excuse for that. But we can't then turn around and sin in light of their sin. And so with safe, wise fences, we show the honor that we're able to, a phone call, a visit if it's safe. We have those fences, maybe a postcard, or at the very least, we do not denigrate that individual in public. God's command is that we honor our parents. If you're a believer and you have suffered dishonorable parents, not only does my heart go out to you, but I encourage you not to mix up that dishonorable parent with your most honorable God, who is your father, and you are the object of his rapt attention, and he loves you, and he cares for you. That doesn't heal all hurts, but there's reality to the fact that we have a father who earnestly loves us. One of the growing trends today is that young adults cut off relationships with their parents and grandparents. It's a growing trend. In fact, the day I was going to write this sermon, I was going to cite some more academic studies when someone sent me a less academic article by The Hill. It's entitled this way, 1/4 of adult children estranged from a parent. I thought, wow, that's the timing of God. I was actually going to cite some academic studies about the estrangement. Right now, if studies in universities are true in the United States, 6% of mothers and grandmothers have been cut off, and 26% of fathers and grandfathers have been cut off by their children. And a lot of that has come from counselors saying, this is a good idea. I don't think it is. I think it's a very bad idea. Again, there may be rails, protections, fences, but far less than 26% could have a relationship with the next generation. And Tima means to hold in high regard. Honor means to hold in high regard. You can hold someone in high regard, even if you disdain that individual. This has been lost in our society. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican, an independent, you're a Democrat. This has been lost in our society. I grew up in an age where it didn't matter who was in the White House, who was in the House of Representatives, who was a senator, who was a governor. You showed honor. You might utterly disagree, you showed honor. We need to return to that. And it's actually a biblical concept. We don't have to like who is in any of these positions to honor an office, to honor a role. And that's what the Bible is saying. Honor the role, the office of father and mother. It's the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may have a longer or extended life. That's what the text is saying. Recently, I did a homegoing service. I have permission to share this, by the way. Recently, I did a homegoing service with a friend of mine who died. I didn't expect that that friend would die. Nobody did. He died younger than any of us expected. I knew this friend really well. We had gone out to breakfast many, many times, and I knew about this friend's family. He knew about mine. I knew about his adult children and grandchildren, and he knew about mine. We had shared a lot of our lives with one another. But he died, unexpected. And he had several adult children that really were engaged in his and his wife's life. And they had one adult child who differed from them in how conservative or liberal they were versus one another in terms of politics and faith. And so that child had cut mom and dad off. It was brutal. I can't even tell you how many times I prayed with that dad over several decades. It was brutal. And the day of the funeral came, and all the adult kids were there. And I had a front row seat because I was doing it. And that child that had cut dad off was the most miserable looking person in the room. He can't fix that. He can't fix that. What a day it will be when that child, who is also a believer in Jesus, goes home. What a day of uniting that will be. But between now and then, he will live knowing he cut off his dad for many years and lost the relationship he could have had. If you're tempted to cut off mom and dad, I'm not talking about wise fences if need be. If you're tempted to cut off relationship, think clearly about what the command is. Honor your father and mother. Go very slowly. Be prayerful. And talk to much older, wiser sages. Lest something dramatic happen and you live with regret until you go home to glory. The Bible says honor your father and mother, and then gives us two reasons. The first is that it may go well with you. That is, that you may have an easier, better, more fulfilling life. Let me tell you about something I observed a number of months ago. I was in Georgia. Betty Ann and I were at the Cherry Blossom Fair or Festival. She had seen it in the papers. So we took Roe Jeffrey, at that time, 3, and Ray Ray, 7. And as parents or grandparents actually will do, we bought one of those tickets that they could have unlimited rides. Grandparents can do that. So we got there, and what rookies? There is no ride made on this planet that a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old want to be on together. Don't make a rookie mistake. They don't like the same rides. You can try, it's not going to work. And so Betty Ann went with Roe Jeffrey, and I went with Ray Ray. And you don't know Ray Ray, but she is like fearless. I'm really proud of that, but I'm really nervous because everything that's alive in Georgia wants to kill you. And she picks it up. I mean, she is utterly a fearless child and lives on a farm where some of these things actually live. Well, Ray Ray found what was the least tame ride. Wasn't that untamed, but it was, you know, the swings. And she's on the outside just with her arms out. And it's the best ride there. So she goes on it 7 times in a row, which means I'm going to wait while she gets in line, and that's okay, I don't mind. And while I was waiting, there was this young couple with a little boy. I'm going to say he's 5 years old. And apparently they had been there for a while because mom and dad decided that the cherry blossom fair is now over for them and they're going. But five-year-old Junior doesn't want to go. And so they try the counting thing. That's like raising the white flag, right? I'm going to count to three, Junior, and you're going to go one, two, don't let me get to three, 2 1/4, 2 1/2, 2 3/4, 2 4/5. Junior is learning fractions, but he's not going anywhere. They never get to three. They switch tactics. If you don't start going, you're not going to have your Xbox later on today. Do you hear me? It will be a week before you see your Xbox. It's going to be a month. Dad is going to take a sledgehammer and he's going to destroy your Xbox. There's not even a drop, a bead of sweat on Junior. I think the Xbox has faced annihilation before and it hasn't worked. So they try another tactic. I'm sitting there just biting my tongue. I want to help them. I so want to help them. They're earnest parents. They want to do good, but they're not doing good. So they try tactic number three. We're going to leave you here. Now I want to say he's five. That's against the law. Besides which, can you see his face? He wants you to leave. That doesn't work. I'm not making this up. Dad reaches into his pocket and pulls out an unopened bag of Skittles and says, if you will come, we will give you the Skittles. Just pick the boy up and walk him out. Do you know what good parenting does? It teaches good natural consequences. It helps somebody to grow in maturity. And it teaches someone to honor God with their lives. Do you know what those parents taught? You can ignore authority. Authority makes bogus claims like we're going to smash your Xbox. And if you hold out against authority long enough, you'll get a reward. Good parenting teaches good natural consequences, helps someone grow in maturity, and seeks to teach someone to glorify God with one's life. We are always, no matter how old you are always a role model for the next generation, for the individual younger than you. In contrast to those parents, I think of a farmer, true story. He had planted a crop. It was going to be a bumper crop. He had borrowed a lot of money to buy the seed and to rent the implements. And just prior to harvesting, there came a very bad hailstorm and all of his crops were destroyed. He didn't have insurance. He owed a lot of money, and he's walking through the destroyed fields with his son. His son tells the story when his son's grown up and is an adult. And the son said, I wondered what dad was going to do. Was dad going to cry? I've never seen dad cry. Was dad going to swear? I'd never heard dad swear. Was dad going to rail against God? I'd never seen my dad do that. Instead, my dad began to sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And this adult who was a boy said, that's the greatest sermon I have ever seen or heard. Dad was in despair. Life was not going well. He had now loans that he could not repay and a future for a family that he didn't know how to provide for. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. We are always modeling. Many of you dads, granddads, great-granddads model so well. Thank you. The first reason to honor is that it may go well with you. The second reason is that you may have a long, or I think it's better translated, a longer life. This is a promise from God. If we honor our father and mother, even if they are not honorable, God will extend our life. What does that look like? I don't like the way the The translation I read reads, because it promises a long life, and I don't think that's the promise. I think it's a longer life. God actually doesn't owe us anything. So it could be a young child that maybe God ordained was going to live on this earth 5 years, but the child honored the Lord and God gave that child 5.5 years. It could be somebody God ordained for 75 years and they honored their father and mother and God gave them 85 years. The first commandment, honor thy father and mother, comes with two promises that life will go better if we honor father and mother. God will do something supernatural to somehow improve our lives, and he will extend our lives if we honor one another. Finally, a word for dads, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. How do you provoke a child? You act like a drill sergeant, or you're a permissive parent who doesn't set up and enforce reasonable rules. Maybe you parent out of embarrassment or anger. But God says that the goal of parenting is to bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. It's kind of like my three little points of discipline: natural consequences, growing towards maturity, so that a child will grow up to honor God with one's life. That's the goal of parenting. Now, some of us are beyond the child-rearing age. That doesn't mean I stop parenting. I want to have an influence on my kids until I leave this earth. I want to have an influence on my grandkids until I leave this earth. And by God's grace, even though my grandkids do not live near Betty Ann and I, we have a lot of influence in their life because our daughter and son-in-law gives us access to them. And multiple times each week, I get to interact with my grandson and granddaughter by FaceTime. We play games together. They have sets of the games and I have sets of the games, and we can play Yahtzee, we can play Uno. There are certain Jenga games that we can play via the internet, and we do. I read them Bible stories. Every time I'm with them, I pray with my grandkids over the internet. Ray just finished first grade, and I are reading the Chronicles of Narnia. There's 7 books. She has a copy. I have a copy of all 7. And she reads a page, and then I read a page. She reads a page, and then I read a page. About a chapter or 2/3 of a chapter at a time, and then we mark it, and the next time we read it, and we talk about the theology that C.S. Lewis has embedded in the Chronicles of Narnia. Some of you dads, granddads, surrogate dads, you have other ways that you're building into the lives of the next generation, but you're doing so. Well done. That's what Ephesians 6 1-4 calls us to do, to build in to the next generation, to be the type, Father's Day, the type of fathers and grandfathers, great-grandfathers, surrogate fathers, that is always building into the next generation. Think about the last week. It wasn't a good week for our world. It wasn't a good week for our country. Doesn't matter where you are on the political spectrum. It was not a good week. It wasn't. What would happen if we had Father's Day, more godly fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers and surrogate fathers and spiritual fathers who love the Lord their God with all their heart, all their strength, all their soul, all their might, and love their neighbor as themselves, influencing the world even more? What might happen in the world you and I live in? Thank you for many of you fathers and grandfathers and father figures. Thank you for the things that you do, the way you live, and the model you set. May we all take the next step to be a greater model. Let's pray. Father God, I look out, I see someone immensely gifted, godly, honoring, honor-worthy fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers, even children who live such obedient, honoring lives. And we're grateful. And Father, if we have failed, and when we have failed, may we learn to confess, agree, repent, turn, and live honoring lives. And Father, for those who would rightly struggle to honor a parent or parents that were permissive, absent, abusive, Father, heal some of those deep wounds and surround them with more and more evidence and presence of your love. And even in the midst of such pain, help them to muster whatever ability and level of honor is possible, not because a parent deserved it, but because you, the Godfather, has asked for it. Father, help us to be the individuals, the change agents in our country, in our world, but starting with our families and our community. For your glory. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.